I put it over there.
Okay. Good morning.
Good morning.
We're in Mark 1. Last week we spoke about the coming king, about the servant king. And this week we're going to follow on that sermon and speak briefly about the kingdom of God. Fortunately, there's many weeks to speak about the kingdom of God, because I think such a vast subject wouldn't be covered in one sermon. So, a proud man is always looking down on things and on people. And of course, as long as you're looking down, you cannot see something that is above you. That's a quote from C.S. Lewis from Mere Christianity. The servant king. And chapter 10, verse 25, sums up the book of Mark about this servant king, our Lord Jesus Christ, turning the world upside down, or turning the world the right way up. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. When we think of the word king, we wouldn't normally associate servant with a king, because a king would normally be served. But our King, Jesus, came as a servant king, and ushered in his kingdom. And throughout the book of Mark, we'll see various acts and chapters about the character of this servant king. And, you know, once you've been a Christian a while and come to church, we just sort of accept these things, that Jesus was a servant king. But if we consider that, like English or British, and we still have a monarchy, Queen Elizabeth II is certainly not a servant. She is somebody to be worshipped and looked upon and bowed to, and she outsees all the prime ministers. She's the head of state, and she has a lot more power than people think. Doesn't have as much power as they used to have. But this servant King Jesus, the creator of the world, who spoke the cosmos into being, who flung the stars into space, came as a baby and born in a stable, in a manger with the animals. His whole life portrayed this servant king. And we've heard the gospel perhaps many, many times, but as I was preparing and thinking about this, it is culturally staggering that this King Jesus chose to ride into town on a donkey, not on chariots, but he was worshipped by his own. This humble King Jesus that gives a picture for us to serve and to follow. That he took a towel and washed his disciples' feet. I can't get my head around that. That was the lowest servant's job. But he said, you don't understand what I'm doing, but one day you will comprehend it. So this picture of the Creator, King as a servant. Lord, I pray, through your Holy Spirit, we would comprehend who you are and what you have done for us, O God. When we think of the gospel, O Lord, it sounds too simple. We want something more complicated, more elaborate. But Lord, you came as a humble servant. And you lived your life as a servant. And you gave your life up as a servant. And you're exalted as a king. And the next time you come back to earth, you won't come as a child or a baby, but you'll come in power and majesty and glory and judgment on that great and dreadful day. Lord, have mercy. Amen. In the beginning, the sovereign king, whose kingdom was so large and so immeasurable, was made up of worlds, planets, stars, the whole cosmos. The sovereign king created a blue planet, and then he created mankind, and then he did something so wonderful. And I do not think that mankind could even comprehend what he did. It was that wonderful. He gave them his kingly authority. He gave them his kingly authority. But there was a dark prince who was so jealous that the sovereign king had given the man and woman his authority, that he devised a cunning plan and he tricked them into disobeying the sovereign king. And there was dire consequences because of their rebellion that echoed down centuries. The couple received curses and they were evicted from paradise. And the wicked prince stole their authority. But even though mankind had rebelled against the sovereign king, and that they were still made in the image of God, but that image had become corrupted, it had become upside down, it had become the wrong way round. But God, who was so full of love for mankind, despite their rebellion, he made immediate plans to restore the kingdom through his son, the morning star. But these plans would take thousands of years to fully implement and restore the kingdom of God. At once the Spirit sent him out into the desert, and he was in the desert for 40 days, being tempted by Satan, and he was with the wild animals, and the angels attended him. There's something symbolic throughout the chapter and the first chapter of Mark. I spoke last week of the similarities to creation. How in the beginning, God the Father, God the Son created. And I spoke last week about the baptism and the Trinity. There are pushing love to each other, having this creation king, this sovereign king, this sovereign God, and the Trinity, and this powerful magical dance, and this God was love, and they don't bring glory to each other. Every person of the Trinity passes it on and defers it. And we spoke how we've been invited to that dance and in that kingdom. But there's something symbolic here as well. 40 days, Jesus was tempted by Satan. And it says the Spirit sent him into the desert. And that means the Holy Spirit. And the Greek word means driven. Not that he didn't want to go, but the power in that word is the same word when he drives out a demon. He was ushered in. So soon as he received, he was baptized by John, and we spoke briefly about it last week. Why was he baptized? He was without sin. Didn't need it, right? Why was he baptized? But he was baptized. And the Holy Spirit fell upon him like a dove and empowered him. And God said, "This is my Son, whom I'm well pleased." Then immediately, he's ushered, driven, sent into the desert for 40 days to be tempted by Satan. And in the other Gospels, we hear something about them temptations. And I'm not going to speak about them today. But 40 days. Oh my. 4 minutes. 4 seconds. 40 minutes. 40 days. Can we comprehend that? And he fasted then 40 days. But he overcame. He didn't yield to the temptation. Jesus overcame. The Israelites were on a 40-day journey to the promised land in the wilderness. And they got tempted by Satan and they fell. And it took them 40 years to do a 40-day journey. In the garden, Adam and Eve were tempted. And they fell and they rebelled. This is the servant king taking back what Satan stole from mankind. Hallelujah. He was taking back what Satan stole from Adam and Eve. And he did not yield to the temptation. He overcame in a wilderness. And it says the wild animals was around him. Even the wild animals did not attack him because he had authority over them. Adam and Eve fell in a garden of paradise. Jesus overcame in a wilderness with wild animals. And 40 days of temptation. I don't think we can comprehend the depth of that. I try to think about it. I can't comprehend it fully. We know from the other Gospels, it says, when the devil had finished tempting him and he overcame, he left him to a more opportune time. And that time from us that have read the other Gospels and the Gospels actually is in the Garden of Gethsemane, where he asked his disciples to pray and they fell asleep, where he sweat drops of blood. But he overcame. He overcame. After John was put into prison, Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming the good news of God. He proclaimed the good news. He'd come up out of the water. The Holy Spirit empowered him. The Holy Spirit driven him, drove him into the wilderness to be tempted. He came and overcame Satan. And then he said, he preached the gospel. And then he said, the time has come. The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news. Hallelujah. The gospel is the good news. What is the gospel? It is just the good news of what Jesus Christ had come to accomplish and now has accomplished already. It is so simple, but yet it is so profound. What is the kingdom? We'll talk about that. Well, the kingdom was in the Garden of Eden, where man, Adam and Eve, had the authority of God. And Satan stole that authority. And friends, brothers and sisters, today that's exactly what Satan wants to do with you and me. However he is tempting us, he wants our authority. Because Jesus said, all authority I have given you. All authority. not some, not part, all authority. And Satan hates us. He hates marriage. He hates families. He will attack it because it's a godly institution. Men, women, pray for your marriages. Pray together. Come together, because Satan is out to destroy them so he can take your authority. And he does it many ways, but that is his mandate. So he can damage your children's picture of marriage. There's generations of children in the US, in the United Kingdom and Europe that do not know what a father is. And our picture of our Father is our picture of God. So what is this kingdom that Jesus was proclaiming that is at hand? The Jews thought it was a political system. They thought he came to overthrow the Roman Empire, and everybody was cheering. But he had a different mandate, this servant king. And he may have a different mandate to what we think. He says, those who want to be the greatest, be the lowest. Wash their feet. The upside down kingdom. In this world, we want to exalt ourselves. We want people to serve us. We like names, titles, authority. It does something to our pride. It just bubbles up in us. But this isn't the way. The kingdom of God was in the garden. The kingdom is a dynamic rule and reign of God, a reign that involves God's intentions, God's authority, and God's power. It's a territory, not a place. It's not static. It is dynamic. It is becoming and always growing. And it is far bigger than we could ever, ever comprehend. It is more of a rule of God. It's more than a rule of God in the hearts of men. It is that, but it's much more of that. It's the king's rule over a collective of people. Over us, brothers and sisters. And that's what we are. From different nationalities, from different countries, from different vocations, from different everything. But we're unified by our Father. That we shouldn't get carried away with the minors, but look to the majors of what we agree on. Unity in diversity. That is the Holy Spirit. That is the Holy Spirit. That is God. He's a God of love. A loving, dynamic community. And we're part of that. We're part of that kingdom. If Jesus is our Lord and Savior, we're members, we're citizens of that kingdom. We have an allegiance to that kingdom. And we belong to each other. That is it, friends. We are family. One scholar put it like this: it's something people enter, not something that enters them. It's a state of affairs, not a state of mind. Kingdom living is fundamentally social. It involves membership, citizenship, loyalties, identity. Kingdom membership supersedes the whims of our individual experience. It clarifies our relationship to the King. We are children of the Most High Sovereign God. Isn't that wonderful? Living in a kingdom means sharing in its history and helping to shape its future. God has brought us all together. This peculiar people, the Bible calls us, for a time like now. God has prepared good works for us to do in advance. And yes, we rub each other up as iron sharpens iron. There may be things that you see in other people that drive you mad. And it's often the Lord showing us, you're like that. Oh. The kingdom of God is a collective, a network of people who have yielded their hearts and their relationships to God and His reign and His rule. And we yield and subject our will to His. And that is a choice. And it's hard. It is hard. It's not easy. Because we have to die to self. And self doesn't want to die. The problem with the living sacrifice, it jumps off the altar, right? But in James, it tells you to grieve, mourn, and wail. You double-minded, humble yourself to the Lord, and I will lift you up. It doesn't mean He will exalt you. It means He will crucify you. As He lifted Jesus up, bang, He will crucify our flesh, and our flesh does not want to die. And it hurts. Where is this kingdom? Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. It does not point to a place, but it points to God and His ruling activities. It's not a kingdom of heaven alone, but a kingdom for heaven. It's a kingdom for heaven. We're living in the times, friends, where the prophets long to live. We're living in the year of the Lord's favor. We've got the opportunity to be co-laborers with Christ, to be empowered by His Spirit, to be used in this glorious kingdom, to share this wonderful gospel, to see men and women come out of darkness and enter His glorious light. It is a realm, not a physical place as such. And yes, we're saved. But we're not quite there yet. We're in this magical time of almost, but not yet. We've been set apart, if you know the Lord. We've been sealed and stamped by the Holy Spirit of God. Nobody can take you out of His hands. You're named, are carved in His palm. Your names are written in the Lamb's book of life. But if we don't know the Lord, if our family and our friends that we're praying for and crying out to God for, how do they enter the kingdom of God? Well, we preach the gospel. We share the good news. Jesus said, those who are well have no need of a doctor. But those who are sick, I came to call not the righteous, but the sinners. Jesus came to call sinners out of darkness and into His light. And in chapter 2 of Mark, it says the reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. And He did phase 1 in the wilderness when He overcame with His authority, and even the wild animals yielded to Him because they knew who He were, who He was, and who He is. We must heed His instruction and repent and believe the good news. It's too simple. What do I have to do? I'm sure on that great and dreadful day, there'll be thousands of people saying, but it was too simple. It was too simple. Truly I tell you, nobody can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and of the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. He said, you must not be surprised at me saying you must be born again. And this is the experience that we enter into. Jesus goes on to say, but as many as received him, he gave them the right to become the children of God. Isn't that wonderful? He gave them the right to become children of God. Thank you, Jesus. And to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, but of the will of the flesh, not of the will of man, but of the will of God. But of the will of God. Hallelujah. God is merciful. John the Baptist tells us in Matthew that we must bear fruits worthy of repentance. To be repent and believe. What does this repentance mean? Well, there's two meanings for repentance and the word repentance in the New Testament. And one is probably the most popular. He's doing a 180 degree turnaround of our old life. But also, and very importantly, is that we say sorry to God for our rebellion and our selfishness. And those who have been forgiven a lot love a lot. And I had a lot of repenting to do. But we've all fallen short of the glory of God. Everybody. Because we inherited sin through the fall of Adam. We entered into a world of corruption. Some say by no fault of our own. But I'm sure when we stand before God and give an account, we'll be given account for our own sin, not for Adam's, because there's enough of our own sin. Heartfelt repentance. Heartfelt repentance. And keeping short accounts with God. For us that know him, and being shocked over our sin and our selfishness. And daring to live in community. Daring to come alongside your brother and say, Adam, I sinned this week. Tommy, I sinned this week. Pray for me. Brian, I sinned this week. That we would join in that kingdom community. That we would embrace it. So what is the opposition? The opposition is the prince and the power of the air. The prince of this world, Satan. That's how the Bible described it. And describes it. But we must realize that God is sovereign. God is in control. And Satan is an angel that had been created. Even though in his current state he's far more powerful than us. But he won't be. And he only does what he's allowed to do for a season. In Ephesians, he's called the ruler of this world. Sorry, the prince of the power of the air in John. He's called the ruler of this world. But believers are no longer under the rule of Satan. Unbelievers are, friend. And it is the gospel and the word of God proclaimed The living word of God that's sharper than any two-edged sword. You start speaking the word of God to those that don't yet know God, and something spiritual happens. Because the word of God goes forth and it achieves what God sent it to accomplish. We are not responsible for the increase. Paul preached, Apollos watered, but Jesus gave the increase. We're called to share the good news and watch God work. Unbelievers, they're caught in the snare of the devil. They lie in the power of the evil one, and they're trapped. And the gospel is the power of God for salvation. It is power. And the only influence Satan has over us is to intimidate us. To tell us, people don't want to hear that. How dare you share the gospel? How dare you say that? You're this, you're that, you're that. No, friends. We're not of this world. We're passing through. We're citizens and in another kingdom. So a few thoughts to ponder. And I'm not going to give you the answers, because you're very smart people. Why was it necessary for Jesus to be baptized? Didn't need to repent. He didn't have any sin. Your systematic theology, if you were dogmatic, oh, he didn't need to do it. But he did need to do it. Why? And I love systematic theology. So please don't misunderstand me. What is the kingdom of God? Where is the kingdom of God? And how do we, or anybody else, enter the kingdom of God? Jesus, throughout this chapter, displayed his authority. He called Simon and Andrew. He delivered demons. He set people free. Because he had the power to do it. And that is our God. That is our gospel that we preach. Jesus Christ. And he's living. And his word is active. And that's living, because he is the word that became flesh. And he dwells amongst us in power. And we have that authority to share. So I encourage you this week that you would prayfully share the gospel to one person. Ask the Lord, who are you preparing to hear this gospel this week? Who have you been working on? Father God, we thank you for your kingdom, O Lord. We thank you that we're citizens and members of that kingdom. We thank you that we're brothers and sisters. We thank you that we're part of your family. We thank you, Lord, that we're not perfect, but one day we will be perfect. We thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you for your love. We thank you that love covers a multitude of sins. We thank you for the gospel, which is the power of God for salvation for all who believe. Amen.
Praise God that we are called into his kingdom. And I just pray that this next song would just be a response of our hearts this week and even now. As Pastor Martin said, that we would be the bearers of good news that we would desire to proclaim his gospel. And to do that, we need to just be surrendered to him. And so, if you please stand, join us.
Yeah, we've been singing so far about just Jesus' name and what he's done for us. And so this song is more of a chance to just dedicate yourself to him through this song.
And loving Heavenly Father, we come to you today in Jesus' name, the name that is above every other name, in heaven and on earth, and in the universe, in the name by all things that were made. We pray that you would pour out your Holy Spirit upon us. We need you, O Lord, convict us of our sins, convict us, Lord, help us, O Lord. Keep small accounts with you, O God. We thank you, Lord, that you're a good God. We pray that you give us the same spirit of King David, who did not look at the size of problems, but he looked at the size of God and the resourcefulness of God. Change us, O Lord. Let us see the world the right way up, not upside down. Forgive us, O Lord, according to your loving kindness and tender mercies. We plead the blood of Jesus over our lives. Save our families, O God. Draw them near to you. Set them free. Shower them with your love and your mercy. Please, O Lord, do not let fear and regret of yesterday, rob us of today. Open our eyes to your kingdom. Help us to comprehend what you're doing amongst us, O God. Help us to build your church, Lord, to populate your kingdom. Forgive us, O Lord, at times when we build our own kingdoms. Help us to prioritize the majors and not waste time on the small things. Help us, Lord, to hear your voice. Help us, O God, to hear what the Spirit says to this church, to this fellowship, for this time. Show us clearly, O Lord, because we're just children. Lord, times in life is difficult. We sometimes feel burdened, we feel pressured, we feel singled out, we feel attacked, we feel misunderstood. Sometimes we feel like giving up and walking away. Come to our aid, O God, and rescue us. I pray, Lord, if we're suffering with financial difficulties, I pray that you would provide, O Lord. I pray if we're suffering with health issues, that you would heal, O God. Come to our aid, O Lord. I pray for Nina, Simon's wife, who's had this surgery and is facing another surgery for cancer and chemo. I pray for peace for Simon and the family, and your hand upon Nina. Oh Lord, intervene into that situation. We speak life and health. We plead the blood over Jesus, the blood of Jesus over her, oh Lord. Do a miracle, Lord. Let the doctors be astounded, oh God, and give them peace, whether you do that healing supernaturally or through surgery, O Lord. And we pray that your kingdom would come here on earth as it is in heaven. During this next song, the collection will come round. If you're here regular, please give generously. If you're a visitor, please let the basket pass you by. The Lord doesn't want your money, he wants your heart. He wants you in his kingdom. Hallelujah. Amen.
You stand, join us for one last song. There is no other name. As Martin prayed, there is no other name above his. And may we give him praise.
short notices, anyway, Dan. Recently at ICS and other churches and schools, a South Korean group called the International Youth Fellowship, they have been recognized as a cult. I sent the church email out. If you haven't received the email, there is a link and further details about that particular cult. And they seem to be infiltrating and trying to partner with various churches and local schools. Last week, I probably used the wrong choice of words by saying they wasn't welcome. That wasn't pointed or meant for any individual. Any individual person is welcome in any of the evangelical churches of Macedonia. It is just a group and what the IYF body stands for when they start recruiting people from our fellowship or from schools. And they're particularly aggressive, and they're going after vulnerable people, which is all the more concern, and they're targeting youth. So just to be aware of that, they're called IYF. I know feedback from you and other churches, they're quite aggressive in their pursuit of Scorpio. So they're not preaching the kingdom of God. I would describe them as wolves in sheep's clothing, and they're seeking to destroy through their ministry. Now, that doesn't make any particular person evil, so we don't want to demonize them, but we do need to be aware of the enemy's schemes. And if you see this going on, just to be aware of what is happening. If anybody needs any more information about this cult called IYF, you can come and talk to me afterwards, and I will gladly share what I know and point you towards some resources. But like I said previously, individuals are welcome here in God's house and in any church of the Evangelical Church of Macedonia. Home groups will be starting up if they haven't already. See Jeff Lee, put your hand up, Jeff. If you're not plugged in, I'll send some questions out starting this week. We're hoping to get going real soon. So if you're involved in that, please get them going, join in, invite people along. Because it is in a different environment where we can ask the different questions, where we can grow in God's kingdom, where we can find out about each other and about what God's doing in our lives, where we can become vulnerable in a safe place and be accountable, which is healthy for everybody. There's a women's Bible study going on at 10 a.m. on Thursdays in Beth. See Beth. I think she's in Sunday school. The men's prayer breakfast Thursday, 8:30, in the Plaza de Toros on the quay. Please see Josh if you want to know more information. Get involved. It's church lunch day at QSI. A lot going on this Sunday. Starts approximately 12:30. If you've forgotten, it's fine. Go to the Scara Bar, go into Tinex, go into Vero, just grab some food and come along.
Or
just come. Because this is about sharing our lives, sharing community, and being part of that kingdom. So God bless you. Please hang around for a coffee before the church lunch if you've got time. It'd be great to catch up and talk to you. If anybody's got any questions about anything, please chat with us. Amy, would you stand up? Alicia, would you stand up? These two ladies are elders in the church. They'll be happy to speak with you regarding anything. If anything in the sermon you want to talk about, we also were happy to talk to you about that and pray with you and come alongside you if needed. So God bless you. Be released in Jesus' name. Have a great day. Have a great week. Hope to have a coffee and see you at church lunch. And thank you, worship team. Yeah, awesome. Thank you so much for doing a great job.
But I thought, no, it must be my test. The whole town wouldn't give anything. You know, the price of it is. If you want to give me that piece of chicken, that's
thank you very much.
Yes. I know who she is.